Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Hei. And we were just in the middle of discussing the issue of a case where we are supplying a woman with mizonos, and she has sued for mizonos. So we're talking about a case, let's say, after the death of the husband, where the estate has to provide mizonos, and she's asking for a court decision on what she's supposed to be getting. And the question is, can she demand also wine? So we had just brought up the sugya that we don't give a woman wine at all. And we had gotten up to Meitve. Asks the Gemara on this entire shita that Rebbe Elazar said that we never give any wine assessment to what a woman needs. It says in the Braita, the Rigilah notnim, that if she is used to drinking wine, then we do give her a wine allotment. Answer the Gemara, Rigila Shaini. Well, that's different, because over there it says that she's already used to drinking wine. Remember, as we said yesterday, we said yesterday that the problem of giving her wine when she doesn't have a husband nearby is that wine and sex are deeply connected, wine, women, and song. You know, it's the whole idea, they go together. And because of that, we're afraid that it will be more her to immorality. So what does she need wine for? Now, here it says she's regila chayne. So how do we know that? Because it, Amar Rav Chanina bar Kanan Meshmuel, if she's regila, notnim la kosachat. But if she's not regila, we give her shnei kosot. Something's wrong, obviously. And so, what in the world is that supposed to mean? My karma. Om Rabbi, the point is that Rigilah, if she's Rigilah when her husband is there, so we will give her a little bit. Let's say that she gets two cups with her husband. So if it's Bifnei Balash Nekosot, then we will give her Kosachat. But if she's Eina Rigilah Bifnei Balala Kosachat, on the other hand, if, this is how we read the note, Nin Lashnei Kosot, Eina Rigila Latet Lashnei Kosot, but if she's not Rogil for a minimum of two Kosot, then forget about it. So in other words, if Shelo Bifnei Bala, Ein Notnim La Kol Ikar. Tosis explains, look, obviously from the word Rigila itself, in the Brisa, we know that we're talking about Rigila. I know it's stupid over here that we're asking from a Brisa that says itself that in the condition where she's Rigila, that we need to now go bring a Raya from an Amira, that Rigila is different. It's crazy. Obviously, that can't be what it means. So therefore, what we must be saying is that Rebbe Elazar also understood that we're talking about Rigila from the very beginning. Because it's obvious, as does this, if she were not Rigila Bifnei Baala, so what, now we're going to give her, now that he died, or now that he's not around, now we're going to give her when she didn't have it, when he wouldn't give her? That's crazy. Of course that's not what Rebbe Elazar meant. Therefore, Rebbe Elazar must also have been referring to Rigila, that even if she were Rigila, that we would not give her any wine. So then we have a contradiction from the Braita, and that's what we're coming to say. The Braita, we need to explain the way that we just explained it, according to the Amoraim, that Rigila means if she was Rigila for a lot of wine, we'll give her a kos of wine. So if she was Rigila for Shnaim, but if she wasn't Rigila, that note in Shnaim, then forget about it. Then we don't give her anything. That's what the clarification came to mean. That makes the Gemara make a lot of sense then. Okay, there's another possibility. And that is that there's not really any connection between Rebbe Elazar about not giving her wine to drink and the Braita. Because what we could say is that the Braita is, Ibaitima Rigila is Notimla Litzike Kedera. The idea over here is that if this woman was always cooking with wine, so she likes to make a lot of kind of food that's very, very tasty. With the tzike kedera, usually first like soul food with very thick kind of gravies and so on. But anyway, then we will give her wine for tzike kedera. So she uses it for cooking, which is obviously, I mean, it's like a different type of wine, a quality of wine. The Omer Rabbi Abo, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, you know, there was a maaseh bekalatosha Nachtimon Ben-Gurion. You remember how rich Nachtimon Ben-Gurion was, that he was he was able to pay for the water. For that was the whole nace that we spoke about recently in one of the Chumash Yurim. And over there, the Chachamim gave her an allotment of sa'atayim, incredible, so two whole sa'a of wine, just for Tzikei Kedera, just for her cooking for every week, Me'erev Shabbat, Le'erev Shabbat. Now, you would think that that's quite generous. The truth is that there's two pshatim over here. So the pshat that everybody knows, which Lamaisa, the Shita, brings is only one lashon. We don't have both lashonas. Is Amra Lahem, so she said to them, "You bums, that's what you give me? You should just give that to your own children." So she thought she was cursing them, Lamaisa. And the point is that she was in the situation over there. She was actually Tana Shomeres Yavam Haita. At that point, her husband had died, and she was waiting for the Yavam. So because of that, they couldn't say Amen, because they didn't want it to say that our children should also be in this kind of situation, being Shomeres Yavam. But Lamai said, they would have said Amen. Let me tell you, boy, Halavar, you know. But this woman is so rich. But the other pshat is that she said that's very understanding, and you should be zeche, that your daughters should also be able to have that kind of money. Tana. So the Braita also brings out this inyan, namely, kos echad yafeh le'isha. One cup of wine is good for a woman, loosens her up. Shnayim nivolu. But two is already disgusting, because she starts acting ridiculously. Shalosha, if she drinks three cups, she's already begging for sex verbally. Arba'a, you give her four cups, she'll go out to the marketplace and find a donkey. So be very careful about giving women alcohol. We're not worried about this kind of thing if her husband is with her. If she really starts going nuts with the wine, he can always satisfy her. But wait a minute. But if that's the case, how do you explain the whole story with Chana? Remember that we had brought the Potsuk yesterday, the drasha that it says, Achrei Shato, which means that Chana did not have any wine. And that makes the whole story with Eli even more dramatic, right? But why, in fact, if Elkanah was there, and that was the story, so why then didn't she have anything to drink? That's different, because an achsanai is different. They did not live there. And since they didn't live there, and they were only renting a room in Yerushalayim, he would not have been able to satisfy her if the wine turned her on. Because the Omer of Unim, Inayin Lach Sanai Shoser B'Tashmish Hamita, how do we know that it's Oser for someone who's staying as a guest at someone's house? He is not allowed to have relations with his wife. Now this, Halacha L'Maisa is only true if you don't have a private room that's assigned to you, which, of course, in those days, it's very difficult to mamash have a private room with the dam, and the houses were very small. So if you have a private room, so then it's like you're staying in a hotel. It's not that you're staying with someone. But there's an additional tlai, which means that you have to bring your own linen in order that there shouldn't be any embarrassing stains. And because of that, it wasn't really possible for Elkanah to satisfy it. How do we... What?
In Shiloh.
I'm sorry. In Shiloh, of course. How do we know this? Shenemar vayashkimu baboker veishtachavu lifnei Hashem, vayashuvu vayavoa bitamar amata, and only there does it say vayeda elkanat chana ishto vayaskira Hashem. So only when they had left in the next morning from Shiloh to get to Ramah, so then it says he slept with his wife, which makes it very clear that then and only then, hashtain, but before that not, and that's why he made sure that she didn't have anything to drink. Now, Chuma, who was Abaya's wife after Abaya died, so she comes, Atay L'Kami D'Rava, and she wants to have the estate determine how much food she's supposed to get, and so she says to him, Psokli Mizone, so he does. Then she says, Psokli Chamra, I want wine. So he says to her, no way, what wine? I know your husband very well. Yadana Bebe Nachmeni Shelo Avishasi Chamra. He never would drink wine. He was so poor he couldn't even afford wine. So therefore, why would I give you wine if you never had wine in the house when he was alive? So she said, I swear by your life that, let me tell you something, I would give him his wine in these massive cups of wine. So she stretches out her hand to show this massive cup of wine that's as big as her whole arm up. And as she stretches out her hand, her sleeve goes up. And so Bahadi de Komachwale, her arm became exposed. Igali Dra'a. Nafanura Bebedina, she was so gorgeous that the entire Besdin lit up. So now that was very dangerous because Rava got so turned on by this woman that he runs home and he tells his wife, who is Rav Chisda's daughter, listen, we got to take care of this in the middle of the day. So she says, wait a minute over. This is very suspicious. This is not your normal behavior. Somebody turned you on. Who just went into your Besdin? Manave Aidna Bebedina. So he says, well, it was actually Chuma by his wife. She grabs this massive key from the chest that she had, and she runs into the Besdin, and she starts beating on Chuma. And she says to him, you, I won't say what she called her, but anyway, Machta la bekupe de shida ad afkala mikula mechuz, and she chased her out of the entire city, out. She keeps running after her. And she says to you, already killed three husbands, you little. Now you want to kill another husband? Remember the story with Chuma was, that was the machlokas, whether two of her husbands had died. So it was a machlokas. Repeat the famous machlokas between Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. It's two times a chazaka, so she should be called a katlanid. Or does it take three times to be a chazaka? So Abaye said, you know what? I'll be semich on Reb Shimon ben Gamliel that only in three times. The Maisi ended up dying also. So she calls her the ultimate katlanit. You know, we ain't letting you around this town anymore. You've killed enough husbands. So that was the end of Chuma in Mechuza. Unbelievable stories. Anyway, Rav Yosef, the visitor of Yosef, Berei de Rava, Atoyla Kamir of Nechemya, Bereder of Yosef. So now, the wife of Rav Yosef, who is the son of Rava, so she also came in front of Rav Yosef, the other Rav Yosef, and she said, Psokli Mizone, and he was Pasakla. Psokli Chamra, and he was Pasakla. Why? I thought we said that we don't give a Psak of Yain. Amarla, and he said to her, Yadano Bivne Mechuza de Shasuchar. I know about all you people who live in Mechuza that you guys are drinking all the time. So since her husband was from Rava's family, so lived in Mechuza, and because of that, he took for granted that she should get wine. The visa de Rav Yosef, brother of Menashe Midvio, Atoyla Kami de Rav Yosef. Omra Le Psokli Mizone, Pasakla. Psokli Chamra, Pasakla. Psokli Shiroi. I need beautiful clothes also. So give me my fancy material. Omrelo, what do you need that for? I mean, you don't have a husband that you have to dress up for, do you? So she says, oh, so now I'm supposed to look like a total idiot? I need it for you, for your friends. I appear in public. So what do you say? Dresses are only to turn on husbands? What's wrong with you guys? I insist on still having an appearance that is impressive in public. Okay. Next thing that we had in the mission is that he's supposed to provide a mitah and a mapatz and a machatzelet. Now, this is very strange because remember that the mapatz is a soft machatzelet, which is something like a mattress cover. And the machatzelet, that's like a hard straw, almost ropey, which is very uncomfortable. So the Pashtus is referring to that she would put down the machatzelet and on top, on her bed, on the bed frame. And then on top of that, she would put the softer mapatz, right? But we're still not talking about providing her with like a mattress that has down in it or anything like that. So first of all, the problem is that the norm was, if you recall, that they would use leather to spread out over a frame, and that was the standard bed. Now, that is an awful lot more comfortable than having a machatzelet. So why in the world does it say over here that he has to give her this on top of the leather? He's going to make it worse by putting down a machatzelet and then need to put the mapatz over it? Omer of Papa, what we're talking about is a locale, It's talking about over here where they actually provide support not with leather, but with crisscrossing ropes, like we had in Masechet Shabbos. And that kind of thing, if she does not have enough between the ropes and her body, both the machatzelet and the mapatz, so it's not comfortable, and she will age prematurely. So that's mevagerla, and therefore he has to provide for her enough that she is well protected from the ropes. Tana Rabbanan, ein notnim la kar vekeset. So we don't provide her with a pillow, and we don't provide her with a soft mattress. Mishum Rabbi Natan amru, not true. We do. I understand. What is this talking about? What kind of machlokis is this? I mean, Mamanavshach, is the Brice Echidon? Is Brice talking about where the derech was that in her family they sleep on mattresses and pillows? So then I don't understand. Of course, then he has to provide everything. I mean, is that the din? Is that we always give her whatever the minig was in her family, and then she's olaimo. But in a yoreditimo, remember that we always give her the better situation, which we learned out from the pasuk of bu'ula deba'al, ba'aliyata shabal. So then why would the Tanakhama say that he doesn't have to give it? And if it's not the derech of her family, so then why does Rabbi Nelson say that he does have to give it? I can't understand the basis of such a machlokas. It's talking about Otzricha, Kigon, the Urcha Didei, Velav Urcha Dida. It's talking about where his derech is that he sleeps with a pillow and a soft mattress. So then he has to give it to her for sure, because she's in a yoredit, but she's aliyato babal. But now the question is that he tainas, that the Tanakama Savar, that since he can say, look, when I go away and I'm not with you, then there's no aliyato shabal. I'm not sleeping on anything. So I want to take it with me. So I'm going to take the pillow and the mattress. I'm going to take it with me to where I stay during the week. Then when I come home, I'll bring it with me. So why do I have to provide for you? We're talking about provision where he is living in a different place and she wants to be provided while he's away. So therefore, Taina is the Tanakama, so that's what he can say. Whereas Rabbi, this is very funny. So hold on anyway. You want to talk about the differences in marital relationships? Oh my God. So Rabbi Nelson says he can't do that because she'll say, and what happens if you're delayed on Erev Shabbos and then you won't be able to carry because it'll be Ben Hashmashas, and then you come home without your mattress cover and your pillow cover, and then you steal whatever I have and you throw me onto the ground. So Vishakatalu, you're going to take my stuff, then I'm going to have to sleep on the floor. So therefore, Shikantaina, I want to have provisions over here just in case. So Tosva says, okay, so like, but even those provisions, so why do they have to be a kar v'keset? If she has an extra machatzelet, why can't she just say that? I want to make sure that you also have provisions, Tosva says. Because since he's used to sleeping on a mattress, he's going to say, this isn't comfortable enough for me. I'm taking yours too. You sleep on the floor. So Mamela, she needs another set of karvikesset. Wow. Unbelievable, right? So how does it go? Can you imagine? How does it go nowadays when people don't have an ability to have a separate bed, right? There's plenty of people have that problem. So if the woman is a nida, so what does the husband do? He sleeps on a mattress on the ground. Imagine if he would kick her out of the bedroom. Oh, my God. Anyway, yes, things have definitely changed. V'noten, anybody who is not married and wants to base their future on the Gemara and Ksuvos, be prepared for the divorce. Okay. V'noten la kippa, and he also provides her something to cover her head and an apron. And then we have this situation of giving her, this is a wild Mishnah, right? He's providing her 50 shkalim worth of clothes, but that's for a year, but every single yontav he's got to buy her a new pair of shoes. So we talked about this as like the Marcos, right, from the Philippines. Like, okay. I mean, it's a little bit inconsistent, no? I mean, doesn't she need a dress for yontav? She only needs shoes for yontav? So Rav Papa says to Abayim, and this is really interesting, So this Tana strips her naked, basically, for Yontav, but gives her a beautiful pair of shoes. So now she can walk around with that. This is like the way we used to be when I went to Tulsa. So everybody would go to the showers, you know. So you're stripped naked, but you got to be wearing your hat. It's the same kind of thing. Okay. So she doesn't get any clothes, but she gets at least a new pair of shoes, right? I mean, what's going on? What we're talking about over here, he's not providing her shoes for Yontav. We're talking about a situation where it's difficult on shoes. So this is like, let's say, a place where it's a lot of mountains and a lot of rocks, and or like living in the old city, and the shoes get worn out very, very quickly because of the difficulty of the terrain. And therefore, she needs, during the course of the year, she needs three pairs of shoes. So what the Mishnah is saying is, if you're going to be giving her the three pairs of shoes, so give it to her, but Davka, in a way that her also provides an additional Simchas Yontav. That's what he's saying. Obviously, it's not going to be properly spaced in the year. It doesn't mean she's going to be switching the shoes. She'll have new shoes for every Yontav, and then she'll decide, like, when, you know, which pair to wear as they get worn out. That must be what it's referring to. So it's really Agav Urcha. She can't get along in a year without Tlatsa Zugi Misani. But Agav Urcha Kamash Malan, that the time to give it to her is to space it in such a way that she has enough for Simchas Yontav. So give it to her. So it's introducing not the amount, but a new idea that whatever you can get out of it in terms of making her life a happier life is part of the cheshbon. And then we give her clothes that are chamishim zuz every year. Amar Abaye, when we're talking about chamishim zuz of a year, we are not talking about kesef tsuri. We're talking about the pshite. Pshite are only 1/8 of kesef tsuri. Mimai, how do I know? Because take a look at the end of the Mishnah. Miriktani, b'med varim amuri ba'oni shebi'Yisrael. That this is absolute minimum for the poorest homeless person in Klal Yisrael. And somebody who's mechubat, so then you start giving her whatever is appropriate for your level of income. Hakolafi kvodo. What do you think chamishim zuz over here means? In kesef tsuri? How in the world would an oni should be Yisrael? It's ridiculous. Where would he get chamishim zuz tsuri? That's a lot of money. So obviously, the units that we're talking about over here are chamishim zuz of kesef medina, which is only 1/8 of the kesef tsuri. Now, you'll notice, by the way, a fascinating thing, that the Mishnah takes seriously the stability of currency, right? Which is very strange to us. Because, I mean, even though there were two times that there were changes in the value of currency, so where they were motziv shtus twice, from the Midbar, and then in the Yerushalayim, and so on. But generally speaking, we had long periods of stability with currency. And I think that this is something that is so profoundly indicative of the nature bichlal of a culture. Just this morning, they came out with a suit against Musk. What's his suit? I think it was something for $250 billion. I mean, $1 billion doesn't go very far anymore, but anyway, it was quite a suit. What's the suit? The suit is that he knew all along that this currency, this Ethereum that he was pushing, you know, one of the Bitcoin currencies, he knew all along it didn't have any value, but it was all, you know, he was building it up and it was publicity. And then when he makes all of his money, so then he lets the thing collapse and then everybody loses their money. They want him to pay for their loss of this money, right? It was a disaster this year. So I'm thinking to myself, he knew all along and you didn't know all along? There was someone who thought that Bitcoin had value? Where was the value coming from exactly? How stupid could you possibly be to actually claim in court, well, we thought it was real value currency, but he fooled us by making us believe that it had value. How incredibly stupid can you be? And how can you possibly expect a court to believe that you were so stupid? And then I realized And it's quite an amazing thing. The entire culture is Bitcoin. That's the point. So everything that's going on, it's not just the currency. It's everything. It's the education. It's the income levels. It's the supposed achievements. Literally, it's the marriages. I mean, everything is Bitcoin. It's all
buying into it.
Buying into, very good. Excellent, right? So it's all people buying into utter nonsense in which they believe that they can keep each other going by this insane house of cards. So they actually get to believe in it. So if something collapses, then of course I'll go to court and they'll say, what's the matter with you? How could you do such a thing, fool people? Beyond belief, right? So then, since everything anyway is fooling people, so then you start wondering, okay, so at what point, you mean because you gave a big donation to Harvard and they took your kid, that's fooling people in the wrong way, you know? But the fact that the whole degree is completely meaningless and never, ever was any kind of a significant achievement, that's okay. And so on and so forth. So this is mamish the point. To us, the idea of a monetary value that you can give some kind of, this is the amount you're supposed to use to support your wife. What are you talking about? In when? What? What are the market conditions? I mean, a stock market that keeps going up with having absolutely nothing behind it, right? Just because everybody is going to be in the market. And we persuade people, yes, it's going to be a bear market. It's going to be unbelief. So this is, it's an amazing thing that we come across in the Gemara. It strikes us as being so absurd. What in the world is the Mishnah talking about? That's how rochok we are from any sense of reality. Okay, continues the Mishnah. Inotim la lo chadashim. We don't give her the new clothing in Yemot HaChama, and we don't give her older clothing in the Yemot HaGeshamim, but what we do is we give her the new clothing, the Yemot HaGeshamim, when she needs the additional warmth of the thicker cloth before it becomes worn, and so on. And we pointed out that this is it's fascinating that Bizman HaZeh, we do it for you. Pre-washed jeans and so on, right? So it's basically, we're taking into consideration the Mishnah, but I mean, we don't expect you to actually wear it. You can get it done, all done by machine. So, Tana Rabbana, motar mizonot, go to a husband. So let's say that she doesn't eat very much, and the amount that we give her based on the Mishnah is more than is necessary. She ends up with leftover money for mizonos. That's refunded to the husband. But motar bilaot, any leftover clothing that she's already worn through, that's left for the woman. But why? Motar bilaot liisha lamala. What she's supposed to do with this leftover material? Omar Rechava, what she does is she uses them bedafka during Yemei Nidata. Because otherwise, if she's going to be wearing her normal clothing during Yemei Nidata, she could be midganal bala. So kadesh lo tidganal bala, her husband should associate the way that she looks with an isha tahira, and that makes him feel good about her. And therefore, if she's wearing these older clothing, so that's only going to be begetter, where she's not able to be with him. And that, in fact, indicates to him that she's not going to be able to be with him. So it becomes now a simon, also, you may need a top. So therefore, we give it to her. Omar Abaye, based on that, naktinan, so therefore it's become standard, that motar belaot almana, in the event that the husband is no longer alive and the estate has been providing her clothing, so then, since there's no longer an issue of not being mitgana abala, because her husband is dead, in that case, it goes to the children, the heirs of her husband. Why? Because only in a case where her husband is alive, we said, because we don't want her to be in any way miguna in front of her husband. But over here, Bedafka, we were very happy for her to be miguna. They should be turned off by her, not turned on by her. So the estate, therefore, takes it back. Let her wear her normal clothing, be may nidata as well. Then the other thing, of course, was the allowance. So we finally get to the allowance. Noten la ma'a kesef, she gets this allowance. And then it goes on to say that she's ochelet imo, she eats with him every Friday night. So what does that mean when it says ochelet? And we spoke about this briefly earlier, and we said that there's a machlokas. Rav Nachman says ochelet mamash, and Rav Ashi says no, ochelet means basically intimacy, not really eating. Ask the Gemara, Rav Ashi, can you read the Mishnah or not? The Mishnah says, ochelet imo lele Shabbat. I mean, if you're mechuyev ochelet, that would explain why it says ochelet. But if we're talking about intimacy, why does it say ochelet? Why doesn't it just say it? Because eating is a euphemism that we find in the Torah. Lishna ma'alya, kirichtiv achlau machatapia. Over there, it's talking about an adulteress, of course. So she eats, and then she wipes her mouth, and she says, I didn't do anything wrong. So we see over here that her relations, her adulterous relations, are reviewed as achila. And of course, we have ki imalechem asher uochel. There it wouldn't be as big a riot because it's not obvious that that's what it's referring to. Shlomo HaMelech, talking about it in Mishle, he makes it very clear what he's referring to. Meitve. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, ochelet b'leile Shabbat v'Shabbat. Oho. Now here it says that when it says the din of Leile Shabbat, it means including Shabbos in the day. And this, of course, was something we spoke about earlier, those extra meals that were missing, depending on Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who we're going according to, we spoke about yesterday. So now, if you say that it means eating, it makes sense that she eats with them Friday night and she eats with them Shabbos in the daytime. But if you're saying it means intimacy, I thought you're not supposed to be actually engaging in intimacy during the day. Tashmish b'Shabbat mi'ika, v'yom revuna Yisrael kedoshimein, and therefore they don't have these relations in the daylight. Okay, that's true, but Amar Rava b'bayit afel mutar, that it's okay b'bayit afel. So what this has fascinating implications, because I mean, why in the world would we specifically say that you should have relations in the daytime? So this is actually Nogea the Shaila that Tosfos raises over here, when it says, Milele Shabbat, Lele Shabbat, according to Rav Ashi, that it's referring to relations, but anyway, that's the time for relations, we said, right? So Tosfos is Mechadesh, that what we're talking about over here is even in cases where he is providing for her from the distance, and even if he were at home, he's a sailor. So he only comes home basically to be with her. He only owes her once every 6 months, the Mishnah said, right? But in a case where he's providing her ayideya shalish, then he has to provide for her sexually every week. That's the chiddush. So, I mean, if he wants to go and utilize the fact that he is going to be a sailor, then he can't support her from the distance. He's still got to keep to the, when he is around, he's got to be with her. If he's not going to be with her when he's around, then he can't not be around for Friday nights, which is a tremendous chiddush. And therefore, in this case, the other chiddush would be, when we're talking about the daytime in Shabbos, according to some of the Rishonim, it's where there's a case where someone owes his wife twice a week, like a poel, and he's not home during the week. So then it's saying he can utilize Shabbat, Leil Shabbat and Shabbat Beyom, and that becomes his twice a week. It doesn't mean that it has to be spread out in the week. So there's a lot of implications, Begabi the Dinim of Onah, from this latter piece over here. Okay, well, big Kedusha. Now, the last thing we spoke about was the nursing problem. So, then we give her more food, and she gets to work less. So, Dorash Rabbi Loi, Rabbi Ula Rabba, Apischa de Venecia, Afal Pisha Omrein Adam Zanat Banav Vnotav Kishem Ktanim, we had before, that we cannot force a person to be giving the support for his young children. When we say that, we mean only young children who are not very young. Avozan ktani ketanim, he definitely would have to provide support for children who still need their mommy. And what do we mean by that? Ad kama, ad ben sheish. So we can only embarrass him and socially censure him for not providing support for his children above 6 years. But under 6 years, we can actually force him. This is no gather sugya that we had before. and I'll prove it to you that six is the age. The Omer of Asi, let's say a situation where you have a mother who makes an Eruv in one direction. Let's say she makes an Eruv to the east, an Eruv Chatzeres. An Eruv Tchumim. And the father makes an Eruv Tchumim to the west. And each one of them adds for their Eruv enough for the child. The din is that he goes according to his mother's Tchum and utilizes her Eruv. So what do you see from there? That a child up to the age of six is considered to be under the mother's care. And therefore, the child's support has to be part of what he's going to be giving the mother. And that would mean, by definition, that he has to pay for the child. How do I know? From this Mishnah, says Ula. Mimai. Midiktani, since our Mishnah says that if she is nursing, that then pochatin la mima'a seyadeo mosifin la mizonotea, why does he have to give her more food? My taima. La mishum deboi la mechabada. Isn't that because of the fact that she's eating for two? So then if the fetus is eating for one, so to speak, so then when he's born and still eating with her, so that means he has to support her. Otherwise, why are we making him support the fetus either? No, come on. You can't prove that from here. I mean, maybe the point over here is because she is weakened by this, by the pregnancy, and she's like a chola. In the same way that he has to take care of her in terms of making sure that she's well, it's not because of child support. It's because of direct wife support. Okay, so then it should have said so, don't you think? If the issue is not nursing, the issue is that she's weaker and needs more nourishment, whatever it is, so why mention nursing? Why not just say if she needs more food medically, then we give her more food? Must be because the food is indeed for the nursing infant. That's the point. Well, I mean, maybe the Mishnah is just coming to tell me that we have a right to assume that if she's nursing, she's the equivalent of chola, because she's eating for two. She's feeding the infant that's nursing from her body. So, but it's still not because we're giving extra money for the fact that she is eating for two. That isn't the point. It's that she's weak because she's eating for two and needs more nourishment. Itmar Amr Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, we actually give her wine in this case, because these things, I don't think they do it anymore, but they used to provide in the Israeli hospitals beer right after birth. Does anyone know if they still do it? You don't know. But they used to do it. This was standard. The women were given beer because it increases their milk supply. So, he was saying this, even though yayin, shayayin yafelech halav. So if the whole point is, in other words, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi's goof is saying that what we want is not to make her better. We want to get the food for the child. Goof is what we're talking about. And therefore, we would give her things that are good for the child. I mean, as everybody knows, come on, you want to get a lot of alcohol into that baby, right? Good for his brain development. And so, on that note, we are ready for Sir Richard Hadranalach Af Alpi. Well, Mitziata Isha, continuing on now to things that come from outside. So, woman finds something. She wins the lottery. That also goes to her husband, along with Maaseh Yadeha. The Gemara is going to ask, I understand, but we know that already from before. And Yerushata, anyway, this is our gear, so some have the gears of Yerusha. But Yerushata, if she inherits things, and that is basically Nichsei Malug, it adds to her Nichsei Malug, it doesn't go into Ksuha. So then the din is, like everything else, which is Nichsei Malug, he gets the right to the Peirot B'chayel. We said that was an exchange for Pidyonah in the event that she's captured. And if she is injured and attacked, now this is not referring to an attack by the husband, by the way, because as the Rishonim talk out, if he damages her, he's got to pay through the nose like anybody else. We're talking about over here where she was injured and there was the boshet ubgam, so she gets the boshet ubgam because she is the one who suffered. Now, it doesn't even bother talking about the issue over here, even though you think we were talking about nezek, tsar, sheves, ripui, boshas, and instead of that, it only talks about the boshas ubgam. Well, that would be because, look, if we're talking about a situation where he is taking the maaseh yadayim, then that's shevet, right? Shevet is she can't work during those days. So then obviously that has to be refunded to him. If we're talking about the ripui, well, he's the one that has to pay the ripui because that's part, we said, of mizonos, is that he takes care of her medical bills, in which case it would also go to him. So, you know, all of those cases, we didn't need to talk about it. The tsar is completely hers, and there's no tsar to say that it should go to him. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira actually argues on boshet ubgam. And he says it depends where the boshet and pagam is. If it's a place that people don't see, and it's a mokom that is beseter, so then she gets 2/3 of whatever the income is from it, the insurance payments or whatever, bizmancha begalui, then he is considered to be suffering more than her. It's a tremendous embarrassment to him to have, let's say, a woman whose face is scarred as a wife, or it also, he suffers because it turns him off, and it's Megane, his wife, in his eyes. So over there, we gave him 2/3 and 1/3 to her. Now, his part, he gets right away from whoever's paying. Her part, we invest for her, remember, like we always do with money that's coming to her, where he gets the right to eat the peros. So we buy stocks, and he gets the income. We buy property, and he gets the income from that property. Now, isn't this like old stuff, asks the Gemara, Mai Kamash Malan? Don't you remember the Mishnah that we had before, way before we had this on Memvav? It said over there, Ha'av zakai bebito. There we were talking about the differences between a husband and a father. So we say the father is zoche to his daughter's kiddushin, because of b'shtar b'biya, and the father is zakai bin urea beit avia for any shevach, including mitziyata, ma'aseh yadea, hafarat nidareha, he's mekabel et gita, and however, he does not get rights to things that are hers. He does not get right to the peirot. But once she gets married, her husband does get the right to the peirot. So, yeter alav abal, shu'ol chel b'cherot b'chaya. But that means that everything that we mentioned over here that the father gets, the husband for sure gets. All we're saying is he also gets the rights to the peirot of her mirusha and so on, which a father doesn't get. Okay, so then that means that we've spelled all this out before, which is that a husband has the right to the mitzias ha'isha and so on and so forth, everything that it says here. So why are we repeating this whole business again as if it's like a big chiddush in a new perek that even got an introduction by Richie? I mean, the other Mishnah didn't get an introduction. Well, maybe it did. Was that the one that I had forgotten? I'm not sure. But anyway, so what's the point? Answers the Gemara, you're right. The truth is that the first part of the Mishnah is sort of like an introduction, setting us up for recognizing that there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira and the Rabbanan. So therefore, the real meaning of the Mishnah was to get to the part about boshta upgama, which is a plukta to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira of the Rabbanan. That is why we bothered mentioning the introduction to the Mishnah.